Hello, everybody. My name is Nate, if I haven't met you, and I'm glad that you are here. Good to see you. We are in our second week of a new series, and you'll notice this symbol here, and I know to some of us that might be terribly confusing. In fact, it's been co-opted by different groups over the years to represent earth, wind, fire, different things like that. But let me tell you, the first time that we know of this symbol, it was discovered at Pompeii. Pompeii was buried because of the eruption of the volcano. And as they excavated, they'd seen this symbol linked to Christianity very early. But we still thought it began somewhere around 200 or 300 AD. But in 79 AD, apparently, this was an early symbol that represented the followers of Jesus. And so homes where they would meet for their studies and their prayer times had this symbol. And the reason they used this, it's called a triquetra, is that it represented this thought, this fascinating thought that probably would take a lifetime to explore, that God is three in one. There's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the early church held desperately on to that. I thought that was very important. In fact, one conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples went something like this. He looked at them, and this is towards the end of his physical life. He said, you know what? It's better if I leave you. And they said, are you kidding me? I mean, to be able to follow you around and watch you do miraculous things and hear you teach us about who God is and how much he loves humanity, to watch you restore people's lives that are experiencing brokenness. Like, Jesus, what do you mean it's better if I go? Jesus said this, here's what's going to happen. If I leave you, then the Father will send you the gift of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God, Jesus was contained in a body. He was the God-man, so he could be in one place at one time, like you and I. Can't escape this. Jesus said, when I leave, God's next visitation to planet Earth is going to be his Spirit. That's what one of these represents. And that means that God can be with people all the time, in their workplaces, on every continent imaginable. In every situation that we face, the Spirit of God is present. So one of the beauties of this idea that God's Spirit is with us is that means we're not alone. And it's very important, we looked at last week from Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, that we understand the Spirit is a gift, okay? So sometimes we think of kind of the Spirit makes people act weird or, you know, it's just kind of foggy. This is what the Father would want to say to us. He gave his kids, his children, his followers, one significant gift after the life of Jesus. And he said, this is what I want. This is what I want to give you more than anything else. I want to give you my Spirit so that my presence could be with you at all times. So it's this beautiful gift for us. So over the next several weeks, we're going to look at how the Spirit addresses four major human challenges that we face. And here's what I'd like us to look at today. Human beings. This is all of us, face this, that we say things like this, I can't, I'm frightened, I'm frustrated, that's too big, that's overwhelming. There's this inherent sense that we just don't measure up, okay? And it could be you're talking about family life, you're talking about relationships, we're talking about business, we're talking about our own spiritual lives. We feel like I'm just not quite there, I'm not enough. And then you lay on top of that, Jesus' departing words as he's leaving the planet. He looks at his followers and he says this, here's what I want you to do now. I want you to go into all the world. Meaning, I want you to leave your comfort zone. I want you to begin to go to cultures that you never even imagined were out there. And I want you to make disciples of all nations. And I want you to do the things that I did. I want you to give hope to people who are hopeless. I want you to break down spiritual barriers. I want you to open the eyes of the blind. I want you to pray for the sick and see them well. So just that audacious, massive call is overwhelming. So we look at our own lives. Anybody ever feel tired? Yeah. Anybody ever feel overwhelmed? And then when Jesus says, hey, and by the way, I've got this whole incredible adventure for you. It just makes us feel small. It's this sense of human smallness. And that is one of the reasons that God gave the Spirit, because you and I aren't enough. We don't measure up. The challenges in life are too big for us. So the solution to that is God's gift of the Spirit to us, so that things beyond us can begin to happen. So I don't have to say, I'm too scared, I'm too frightened, I'm frustrated, I'm overwhelmed. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at three distinct passages of the Bible, okay? We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. That's a set of gifts that God gives to the church to help us in our inabilities. And then we're going to look at Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here's what I'd like us to consider. As God gave us the gift of the Spirit, that means that he also gave us gifts to address the challenges and the overwhelming nature of life, okay? One of the things I'll occasionally hear from people is one of the hesitancies about becoming a follower of Jesus is to some people it seems boring. Like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that because I think the fun meter is going to dial down, right? No, I mean, it's all these things I can't do. I would respectfully look at you and say, I think that you have a diminished view of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Because to be a follower of Jesus, I think, is the utmost adventure that a human being can embark on. It is a call to live radically, counterculturally. It is a call to love rather than hate, which is our natural reaction. It is an incredible adventure, and it would necessitate the Holy Spirit moving in and through my life. Okay, let's start as we look through these passages. Here's the first set of gifts, and we won't spend a lot of time on this, but I think it's important to notice. We're going to call these the gifts that Jesus gave to the church, okay? The gifts that Jesus gave to the church, and it's for the workings and the processing of the local church. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 4. So, Christ himself gave. So these are a gift from Jesus to the church. And here's the gifts. Apostles. Now, what is an apostle? A lot of confusion there because oftentimes we talk about the 12 people that follow Jesus around. We call them the 12 apostles. But in its truest form, this word actually means someone who's catalytic, someone who ventures to a place where the message of Jesus has never gone before. It's this entrepreneurial type leadership that says, you know what? No one's ever done that before, but that's important, so I'm going to figure out a way to do that. So it's someone who disembarks from what's common and known and enters into a new world. So he gave apostles and the prophets, okay? Prophets. Most of the time when we see this word, we, you know, you conjure up an image in your mind about somebody who looks you in the eyes and says, in 6 years, you will be traveling down a road, right? There are times when God reveals a future event, but the prophecies in the Bible, about 90% of them have to do with this, not about the future, but what God would say right now in this moment. So it's someone who has this capacity to just tune into what God is hearing and what God is saying and then be able to vocalize that to the people around them. So you've got these apostles that are gonna launch into new venues, and then you've got prophets, these people who, they just have an uncanny ability to hear what God is saying and then proclaim that out loud. The evangelists. These are the people who, I mean, this is the Billy Graham. This is people who just have, they just don't face fear when it comes to sharing their faith. Anybody, if you even think about having a spiritual conversation with people, your hands get sweaty and you get nervous, right? A lot of us would be like that. I have a dear friend. Let me tell you about an evangelist in our church. His name's Tony George. He's one of my buddies. He's on our church council. He helps provide leadership to the church, covering for me. And Tony, like every week, he's leading people into a relationship with Jesus. It's just phenomenal. Now, about a year and a half ago, I was traveling, coming back from some meetings, and I was beat. I had a layover at the Salt Lake Airport. Somebody taps me on the shoulder, and it's my friend Tony. And he's like, how you doing, Nate? I'm like, I'm great. He goes, are you fired up? I was like, no, not at all. Like, my next leg of flight, here's what I was planning to do. I was planning to put in earphones and try to take a nap. He goes, I love flying because I never know who God's going to sit me next to. And I can't wait to start talking. I'm going to ask them questions. I'm going to see where they're at spiritually. And I'm like, oh, yeah, me too. I'm really fired up. So he's like, let's pray. God put us right next to the perfect person. I'm like, okay, buddy. So he leads in a prayer. We board. Guess who I sit next to? Tony George. And I'm like, God, what are you saying? I look at Tony. I go, Tony, look at the person on your left because the guy on your right, I'm secure. Spend all your energies over there. He's like, great. Nobody sits next to me because I'm on the aisle. But that's a Tony George. Like always looking, not afraid. Then the pastors and teachers. So a pastor and a teacher, pastor has to do with this word shepherd. They just know how to help meet people, move people in the right direction. And teachers, this is this ability to communicate this book. And we have teachers in this church. Some of them are over teaching five-year-olds right now. They're communicating God's truth in an age-appropriate fashion to a five-year-old. And then this is what I get to do as well. I get to pastor, I get to teach. We have shepherds on our staff who help walk people through challenging lives. And then teachers, this is kind of my main assignment, is walking through this book, a book that's thousands of years old, and how does it apply to our lives today? So those are these five gifts. But here's what I think is very important, because oftentimes we think, oh great, God gave these gifts to the church so that those people, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, can do all the work. But here's why he gave these gifts to the church. To equip his people for works of service. So God gave pastors and apostles and teachers and evangelists and prophets, why? Not to do all the work, but to equip people to do the work. So I don't ever refer to myself as a minister. And here's why. You are the ministers. People sitting in the seats right now, you are the ministers. My job is to be a pastor and a teacher. And why do I do that? To equip the ministers of the church to do works of service. So one of the tragedies in church is that we think, oh, it's these people, the prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, and teachers that do all the works of service. But that was not God's intention whatsoever. The reason he gave those gifts is so that humanity, so that people who don't have theological degrees, people who are working in hospitals and schools, people who are working on job sites of all kinds could do the works of service. Let's go on. So that the body of Christ may be built up. So those gifts exist so that all of us collectively could be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So equipping, built up. That's why Jesus gave those gifts to the church. And do you see, his ultimate purpose was this, is that true Christianity would be the most grassroots movement that the world has ever seen. That it's just people who are average, who are equipped and built up and become an expression of Jesus to the cul-de-sac that you live in, to the apartment complex where you are, to the workplace. And that's what church is all about. So if you're coming to church and you're not feeling built up and equipped and prepared, there's a problem. There's a problem. That's the purpose of my job. That's the purpose of our staff's job, is it's pouring into people because then it's exponential impact. It's not just five or six people doing that. So these are the gifts that God gave to the church, okay? Now I'd like to transition into another thought as we examine these other two lists of gifts. These are gifts that God gives for a hurting world, okay? So the gift, we're gonna say it this way, remember the Holy Spirit is referred to as our gift. The gift, the Holy Spirit, gives gifts for a hurting world. So these two other lists that we'll look at, the idea is that the Holy Spirit desperately cares about the brokenness in our world. And he knows that we're overwhelmed. Like half of us are gonna have a hard time tying our shoes Monday morning, getting out of bed on time, right? Just the world's big, challenges are big. And then let alone thinking about what does Jesus want to do in the world today? We watch the news, we feel overwhelmed. So the gift is going to be giving gifts so that the hurting world can be addressed. Okay, let's read these two texts together. I'm gonna talk about some of these gifts as we go through them. First, we'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. This is Paul writing to his friends in the city of Corinth. And Corinth, fascinating book. I'd encourage you to read the chapters before and after this. Paul's gonna talk a lot about the different gifts that are happening. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Okay, so in the first century, in Corinth, there were people who were like, I don't even know what you're talking about, Paul. Like, what is this? So I think this continues 2,000 years later, is that many of us would say, hey, I've got a grasp on who God the Father is. I have a grasp on who Jesus is and what he did. But the Holy Spirit and his gifts, that's just a little murky for me. So this would be very, very common. That's why we're talking about this, to clarify. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them, okay? If there was one thing that I would love for you to take away, it would be this. Think of this word, distributes. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he distributes gifts to people who are facing overwhelming situations. To people who are engaged in this mission of God in the world, and he sees, we're feeling desperate, we're feeling overwhelmed, like, oh my goodness, I can't do this. How about this? And he's constantly distributing gifts to the followers of Jesus. Just burn that image in your mind. The Holy Spirit is a distributor of gifts. There are different kinds of service. Service is one of these gifts. People are just behind the scenes, lay down their lives. They don't need credit. They just, I just want to serve. I just want to help make things happen, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, okay, I love this phrase. This isn't to the spectacular Christians, to the people that read their Bible every day. No. It's just to each one. Okay, this is you. This is you. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. And why is it given? It's for the common good. It is not for me to be able to thump my chest and say, oh, here's my gift. I'm so good at that. No. It is to benefit the people around us. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. Okay. Anybody ever felt confused in life? Right? Happens all the time. It's decisions and it's choices and you're like, I don't know what to do. And the hardest decisions are between two good things, right? The easy decisions are like, that's a terrible idea, this is a good idea. But it's when you have two good things. Here's one of the gifts that the Spirit gives. When you're overwhelmed and confused, he could speak to you or he could speak to someone close to you. Just a message of wisdom, which is just profound insight. It is just revelation of truth when we feel overwhelmed. So when I'm overwhelmed, confused, you just say, God, I could use wisdom. And if you want to speak that through my friend, if you want to give me wisdom, and all of a sudden there's clarity. Oh, I get it now. To another, the message of knowledge. Knowledge is just this applied truth. It is, here's a specific concept, a thought about God, a reality that fits the situation that you're in. So he gives away a word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. So let me give you an example of what faith would be like. I typically, like even last night, I needed to pay our bills. Okay, that's something that everybody in the room, you have to pay your bills. And like, I know that God provides for us. I know that we are blessed. But you just look through and you're like, oh man, and you know, you're paying all your bills online. And most of the time, I always have like a little measure of concern and trepidation about the future. There have been two instances in my life where God gave me a gift of faith to face a really big challenge. I never had it before, and I haven't had it since. Let me give you just one example. So we had started church at the University of Oregon. If anybody knows the University of Oregon, it's just this crazy. I mean, it was a really fun place to be, but a very liberal university. We had started this church and it had grown. We had about 400 people that were coming and we didn't have any room, no space to meet. And I was just freaked out. Like, what do we do? And I'm walking down Greek Row where all the sororities and fraternities are. And I find out that this sorority, it's 20,000 square feet. It has space for 60 people to live. I find out that it's for sale and they want like $1.8 million. And my first thought was, there's no way, like we don't have any money. We literally, here's the biggest offering we ever had at College Church. It was on Friday nights. It was $73.76 and a granola bar. That, like literally. So this, like there was no money for this $1.8 million building, but I'm walking by it and I just felt like God said, hey, that's the building I'm going to provide for your church. And instead of being like, are you kidding, God? We don't have a penny in the bank. I'm like, yep, that's it. Gift of faith. So I started going every day and just walking around it and saying, God, I probably thought I was some sort of creeper. But I'm walking around, I'm like, God, I don't know how you're gonna do it, but I'm really, really excited about our future in this building. I went to my senior pastor, I went to our church council. I said, hey, here's the building that God's gonna give us. And they just kind of looked at me and they said, how's that gonna happen? I said, I have no idea, but I really think it's gonna happen. And you wouldn't believe it, but in a matter of 3 months, instead of $1.8 million, somehow we came up with $650,000 and we bought it for cash with that, fully equipped. Now it was painted three shades of pink and that took some time to cover, 20,000 square feet. But it was just this moment of faith, and you know what? After we got the house, my faith disappeared. And I was back to worrying about the same little things all the time. So this is part of what God does. When there's an overwhelming situation, God would just say, hey, how about the Spirit distributes to you faith because you've got a situation that you can't handle by yourself? Okay, let's go on. And to another, gifts of healing. This could be internal, this could be physical healing. Some of you are involved in therapy and counseling. God will give you gifts to help heal people, doctors, nurses, and then supernatural healing as well. It just boom, God does something astounding. I remember I pray for a lot of people and I always believe that God wants to heal people. Once I was in Africa and this lady, it was a growth that came out of her neck. It looked like somebody stuffed a volleyball in there. Okay, it was this big. And she wanted me to pray for her. She was not a follower of Jesus. And I'm like, okay. And she said, put your hand on it. And I wasn't very excited about that. I don't know what's inside, right? And so I just put my hand on it and start praying, and I'm surrounded by a bunch of my African friends and we're praying, and like something weird happened, and when I looked up, it is gone. It's like volleyball deflated. It's just gone. And she looks like this. She's with some of her kids and they're like, they're speaking in a language I don't know, and everybody's excited. And what do they want to do? They're like, tell us about Jesus. He's for real. And I'm like, yeah, I'm more surprised than they are that she got healed, right? It's absolutely embarrassing. But the whole family's like, yep, we're in. We're following Jesus. Sometimes there's these miraculous things that happen. To another, miraculous powers, very similar. To another, prophecy. We talked about that. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Just able to know, like, you know what? That's not God right now. I just sense it. That's not God. That's the enemy who's trying to bring confusion. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. We read about one of these gifts of tongues in Acts chapter 2. That God allowed the early disciples to speak in languages they never learned, and they began to proclaim to people who spoke a completely different native language the truth of who God is. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. This comes from, you'll read a little bit farther in the book of 1 Corinthians, where sometimes God speaks something and nobody in the room is like, whoa, I don't know what what that was. Somebody else in the room is like, actually, God just gave me a gift of interpretation. I know what that was, and they speak that out loud. So here are these gifts that are flowing. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them, there's our word again, distributes them to each one just as he determines. Who's in charge of this? Is it me? Hey, you know what I want right now? Mm-mm-mm. As he determines, as the Spirit of God who is present in this room and on Monday morning, and as he is working with his followers, he distributes gifts for the day, for the week, for the moment, for the assignment, as he determines. Now, there's one more list, and I'm just going to jump into it a little bit. I won't read the whole thing. You can do that later in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to drop all the way down to verse 5. And the author here is saying we need to think in terms of a human body, how these gifts work together. So Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So there's mutuality, okay? We have different gifts according to the grace given to, again, each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So here are other gifts that are mentioned. And he says, if that's the gift you have, just engage with it and do it with all of your heart. So there's some of the gifts. There's other lists that we could add in. I don't think that any one of these passages is exhaustive. I think it's the author's just telling us, hey, here's some of the gifts that we know are present. So what do we do with this? Here's how I'd like to tackle the last part of this message is, what can we know for certain, right? Where do we go with this? So I've actually had kind of a personal change, maybe a little bit of a theological revolution in this area. How many people in the room, if you've been around in church for a while, I know some of us haven't, so you won't even know what I'm talking about here, but how many people have taken a gifts test? It's kind of like a personality test, and you like list what gifts you have. And I think there's some credence to that. But I also think that that can be dangerous for us because we identify, hey, here's my gift, and nope, sorry, I don't do that. That's not one of my gifts. I've actually morphed as I've studied more of how the early church viewed gifts, and as I've just visualized what's happening, that there are probably some core issues in my life that God is aware of and some attributes he's given me, but I've come to view gifts a little bit differently. That these gifts are available to every one of us when we need them. That I don't just have one gift and that's the only gift, so, you know, wouldn't it be a bummer if you had the gift of giving and that was your only gift and you were bankrupt? What are you gonna do, right? So let me explain a little bit. Here's where this all began to change in my mind because it was not what I was taught. So I had this guy that just profound impact on my life. He pastored a church that I worked at in Eugene, Oregon. His name was Roy Hicks Jr. And he was, and maybe is still, the best Bible teacher I had ever been exposed to. And I was really exposed to him because my first job at that church was, some of you won't even know what I'm talking about, but duplicating cassette tapes. Cassette tapes, right? So they had this room. He had pastored the church for 26 years, and he had just moved out into a new assignment. So this room of tapes, and I had to listen to them and try to group them by date. And then I had this little machine where you put the original in, and you could duplicate 8 at a time, and you pressed go. So I listened over the course of the summer. I listened to dozens, hundreds of his teachings, and it just began to shape me and form me. And every time I'd listen, I think, the most profound Bible teacher I've ever heard. So he's coming back. pastored this church for 20 plus years. He's coming back for a visit, and I get a chance to meet him. And I'm 19, 20 years old. I'm so excited. And so before service, I meet him, and here's what I said. I looked at him. I go, Mr. Hicks, I'm so excited that you are here. You've really impacted my life through your teaching. Aren't you excited about teaching? And he looked at me. He goes, not at all. He goes, I hate teaching now. He'd only been gone for a year. And like my face, blood drains out. I'm like, you hate it? Like I'm shaping my life after so many things you teach. I go, well, why do you hate it? He goes, the minute I resigned as pastor, the teaching gift God gave me was taken away. And now it's just a grind and I'm a terrible teacher. And I listened to him and it was different. It wasn't the same. Here's what he introduced me to, and this is what I've personally experienced, that when you have an assignment, okay, God gives you the gifts to carry out the assignment. And once the assignment is over, those gifts don't necessarily stay with you any longer. That's what I found in my life, okay? I know there are certain things that are terribly lacking in me, and I am disqualified and unable to do a job like I do. However, God brings gifts that make up for all my inabilities and all the things in me that lack. And that would be the same for everybody in the room, that God will give you the gifts necessary for the task. I was just walking with a family, they're having their first child, and I remember the same thing. Like, if anybody's had kids in the room, you wonder, like, I wonder if I'll even like it when it comes out. You know, you see parents that are like, go, 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 go. And I'm like, every baby kind of looks like Winston Churchill. Like, will I even like it? Will I think it's cute? And here's what I told this couple that was scared. They're scared that they wouldn't love their child. I said, here's what's going to happen. The minute your baby is born, there's actually going to be three births. God is going to give birth to a child, to a mother, and to a father. And God will supernaturally give you a heart to love that child. He'll give you a father's heart, he'll give you a mother's heart, and you will connect. I said, you have to understand that even something like parenting is supernatural in its origin. God will give you the gifts necessary. Always happens that way. So here's just some takeaways. Number one. Followers of Jesus get to have a very, very unique equation, a very, very unique equation as we look at life, as we process life. Here's the typical equation. Here's the challenges that you face in life, okay? These are work-related, these are spiritual, these are relationships, and then you add your available resources, okay? So I'm facing this challenge in my business. Well, I look around and I say, well, what are the resources? Here's my experience as a leader. I'll bring in a consultant. Here, we'll do this, we'll do that. We'll find everything we can. And then that equals your outcome. Okay, that's just how the world has to operate. What are the challenges? What are the available resources? Because of what the Holy Spirit is doing, for people who are following Jesus, this equation changes. Here's what the equation looks like. It's the challenges, the available resources, and here's the addition. Supernatural gifts that equip. And that equals your outcome. So if you're facing your business challenge, yeah, here's all my experience. Here's the input from a consultant. And then you know what else I have? As a follower of Jesus, I have a Holy Spirit who's been given to me as a gift who distributes gifts for the moment I need them. And so he can distribute a word of wisdom. He can distribute a word of knowledge. He can distribute supernatural patience. He can distribute faith. He can distribute mercy. So whatever it is that I need, it's not just about me and my resources. It's about me, the resources around me, and then the supernatural gifting that God provides. And literally, this just changes life. Changes your life. It's not about me doing my best. It is about me saying, God, here's what I've got. Here's the situation. And I am so open to whatever you have, God. I am looking for something supernatural to be given to me. So I'm not doing this in my own strength, in my own ability. A unique equation. Here's a second thought. Because of that, we now get to live with expectation. We get to live with expectation. Anticipate that God is good and he will give the gifts that we need, maybe not the gifts that we want, but he will give the gifts that we need. So as we're moving through life and we're feeling that I'm so frustrated, I'm overwhelmed, I can't, wait a minute, I live with expectation. I have a different equation. God, what are you gonna give today? Because I'm in a pickle. I live with expectation that you distribute gifts that make the impossible possible. And it's just a completely different posture. Ladies and gentlemen, live with expectation that there is a God who loves you and supernaturally equips us. And this just, it's not just like for things that happen in the building of a church. I believe that the gifts of the Spirit are operative in your office, in your cubicle, in your home. They're operating throughout the world, and so we live with expectation. Last one, I'm gonna skip a couple, would be this. Gifts are not earned. Gifts are not earned. Because of typical religious thought, it says this, do more, try harder, right? And then we think, well, if I could just get my life cleaned up, if I just could consistently read the Bible, if I could pray for longer than 10 minutes without falling asleep, then maybe God would give me gifts. Did you notice how many times it said, but to each one? To each one. So gifts are not earned. It's very different. It's a different economy. It's not about you do more and you try harder. It's about receptivity and openness. Receptivity and openness. And so to each one, I want to speak, if you're watching online, you're gifted. God has unique things. He's working in you and through you, and they're supernatural. They're not yours. If you're here in this room, like every one of us, some of us right now, we're feeling, well, but that's not me. Like my behavior was substandard this past week. I get that. But God gives gifts, and he gives gifts that help you get beyond, that are supernatural in their origin to each one of you. So don't have gift envy. Don't be looking at someone else's gifts. All the time, people want to have the same gifts that like Chris Smith and Jake Goldberg have. Anybody want those gifts? Wish I could just sing and play instruments. Listen, I know them. They're just perfectly messed up human beings. You don't want to be them. You don't want to be them. Be you. Be you. Be the person that God has made you and start to explore the supernatural gifts that he will give you so that you can tackle your life and your assignment with passion and integrity. And that your life isn't lived just in a natural, like, oh, here's my resources. No, no, there's always something that could be added from God, gifts of the Spirit. Lord, for each of us, we're grateful that we do not live this life by ourselves in our own strength, but there is something added to the equation. It is the supernatural work of the Spirit in the followers of Jesus. So when we're faced with something overwhelming, when we consider how can we proceed in the instructions that Jesus gave us to go into all the world, here's what we know. We don't do that out of our own resources. Whether we're a doctor, whether we're building, whether we're at home, a teacher, working on the oil fields, secretarial work, whatever it might be, we live with expectation that the gift of the Holy Spirit distributes gifts to each one as we have need. And so would your gifts flow through us? We will not be possessive about them. They are not ours. They are yours. And would lives be changed as these gifts are exercised in the world around us? Surprise us, God. Just keep your eyes closed for just one moment. if you're here and maybe you realize, okay, there's a whole nother world out there, and I've referred several times to followers of Jesus, maybe at this moment in your life, you're spiritually unresolved. You walked in here and you're like, I'm not quite sure what I believe. That's okay, that's okay. But I wanna make room for you. If this is the day, if you'd say, I am ready to surrender my life to Jesus. I'm ready to enter into this new realm where God is flowing in me and through me. If that's you, you're just ready to surrender your life to Jesus. It's gonna take a little bit of courage, but would you boldly just hold up your hand and wave at me? I wanna make eye contact with you. Yes, sir. It's beautiful. I'm very proud of you. Anybody else, if that's you, catch my eye over here. Yeah, absolutely. Good, good, good. And there as well, yeah. If you're in the balcony and that's you, would you please wave at me? I wanna see you. Okay, yeah, you're his. You're his. Listen, you're forgiven. You're made new right now. Yeah, right there. Beautiful. Anybody else? Love it. Everybody, would you open your eyes? Book of Luke tells us that when even one person makes that decision, all the angels in heaven celebrate. Let's join in that celebration. Those of you who raised your hand, really, really big deal. Beautiful. If you did raise your hand, I'd love for you to go by one of these I Have Decided banners because I want to get a free Bible in your hand to help you get started. Everybody else, the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus, and do that in a supernatural capacity. Let the Spirit distribute gifts into your life. God bless you. If you need prayer, there's people up front you can trust. See you next week.